Well, I'm going to ask a question which I think, and remember, I know that surprises you that I think, but most of us have our response already. How many of you like change? I got one person that raised a hand. I've got three now. I mean, can I get four? I mean, this sounds like an auctioneer, doesn't it? I've got four. People do like change. As a matter of fact, the last time I checked, that's what life is really all about, isn't it? Life is really about changing. Things are always changing. Things never really remain the same. But I think as humans, it's kind of our creature habit to want to keep things always the same because we're comfortable with that. We sometimes get uncomfortable when changes take place. Maybe they make us unhappy or they discourage us maybe in some ways. But when you think about it, life's decisions, in fact, every day, decisions are being made, and they're about bringing about some kind of change. Think about your prayers. Is that not what your prayers are based on? For change, that is, for God to continue to not only to bless you, but maybe to help whatever things in your life that you're dealing with, and you want some change to come to that. Change is really not all that bad. I have a great big jug beside my bed that's full of change. So if you're ever going to rob our place, go to the side, check around the bed real good. There's a big jug there. And I put change in there. Every time I put some change in there, it makes me stop and think about what life is really about. And that's that it's about changing every day. Our scripture today, our passage, is going to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here Paul says to us, therefore, as though through one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all mankind, because all sin. Now, I just can't just read that verse and not say everybody understands that we're all going to die. But that's not the death he's talking about. The real death he's talking about is the death we experience when we do sin. A spiritual kind of death. And then in the next verse, here is a great teaching in verses 17 and following. Do we have those? Did I give you those, my friend? I didn't. Okay, that's all right. That's okay. I have one. I have a book up here, and we can read them. We can bring them to mind right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll get it right here in just a minute. It then says, if any person, if any man, that's the Greek term is really a person, all mankind, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, the newer versions are going to say creation. That's really a better translation. That is that everything about you becomes new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him. Really neat. And he does that through Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, you know, because of our own reconciliation, he's hoping that we'll share that, and we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed unto us this word of reconciliation. That, of course, would be the gospel. And now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And we pray on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, life's decisions bring about change. Some of them I like, some of them I'm not happy about sometimes. That is, if you're like I am, wound up having made the wrong decision. If you have, then you know what I'm saying. The Bible tells us that because all have sinned, as we have read, we must have a changed life. Romans 3, verse 23 states quite plainly, all have sinned, or that is, that since therefore we have sinned, and it entered into the world, as we read, through one man, sin passed upon all men. All men have sinned. That's Romans 3:23. In the book of James, we have this passage, for he that knoweth to do good, and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. I say that because I want you to recognize that sin is not something that you inherit just because you're a human, or that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's very important to remember. That's all part of what the change brings about. That's why Jesus would say to us that we must be born again, to be changed, so that we can be able to see God, we can be able to perceive his kingdom and understand what he has done for us. Or on that first day of the sermon being preached on the day of Pentecost, when they get to the end and they realize that they have crucified the risen Lord, the response then from the crowd that says, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, repent. That's literally one way of saying change. It literally from the Greek means to change your direction. If you're going one way, you're supposed to go another way. And we would assume that since they're talking about God and Christ, if you're headed away from God, you can come back to God by repentance so that you can come. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive then the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is what God wants for every person on earth. Let me say that again. God wants that for every person on earth. That's sometimes hard for us to take it in and recognize, because not everybody we meet, we feel like this person is going to want to know about God. We may be turned off by their behavior or how they look or whatever, but we must remember this is what God wants for everybody. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, and at verse 26, the prophet writes and says to Israel, I will give you a new heart, this is God telling them, and I will put a new spirit within you. How about that, Chris? That's exactly what you sang from Psalm 51 and 10, this create a new heart in me, O God. And he will place it within them, and he says, and I will remove the heart of stone, that's what their heart had turned into, from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh that is a new one. God is promising a new heart. So we become then, you see, a new creation. Several years ago, back during the time when they were doing what we used to call soul winning workshops, I heard a man speak at a particular one. His name was Benny Thomas. He was a really sort of unimposing kind of person that came to the podium. I knew right away he wasn't a preacher, or that he was familiar or comfortable whatsoever about being behind the stand or the podium for him to, or not the podium, but the lectern for him to speak. And he began to tell us his story. He lived in Colquitt County, Georgia, in the town of Moultrie. And he robbed a bank, a savings and loan there. That wouldn't have been Henderson Federal, okay? You're safe there. This was some years ago. And they were caught. And he spent 30 years in prison for a number of different reasons. He probably had some other things. But he told his story of spending 30 years in jail or in prison. And then he said that while he was in prison, someone came and spoke to him about becoming a different person. That person told him this passage, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, that he could become a new creature. And he obeyed the gospel. And in his last 10 years or so in prison, Jim, he converted several other people on the prison block where he was serving. But when he got out came the greatest story. That's where he ended and told his story. We all applauded for him. It was great. And then the next fellow came up, and it was this Benny Thomas's preacher from Moultrie County, Georgia. He says, now, Benny is being very modest. He hasn't told you the real story. And here's the real story. After Benny got out, Benny was going to the bank. Guess what? It was the same savings and loan bank that he had robbed some 30 plus years before. And as he came out, guess what? Some other fellows were running out with bags of money that they had just stole. What did Benny do? Well, he tackled one, grabbed a bag of money, and took off running. Now, if you were the policeman getting ready to apprehend Benny, what would you think? Well, guess what? Benny ran straight around the corner to the local police station, which kind of gets me, and turned the money in, said these fellows were robbing the bank. Well, in the meanwhile, the police had come in, and I'm only illustrating to you this. Here's a man that 30 years ago robbed a place, and 30 years later, or plus, he helped apprehend some folks that did the very thing that he did. You believe it was a new person? That's the kind of change we're looking for, isn't it? Changing a person's life. All things become new. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have all of these marvelous things that are ours, a new life. Again, as the Apostle Paul is writing to them in the book of Philippians, he says in one little phrase, one little statement, that I may know Christ Jesus, that I may know him. We have a new longing to know. And I hope that that's what your desire is to become better acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find that in Philippians 3 and at verse 10. where he says that I may know the Lord, a longing to know that new life. When he writes in 1 Thessalonians, I use this often in funeral services, about those who are asleep who have no hope. He's talking about those who've died and don't know Jesus Christ. You and I in Christ have a new hope because we have Jesus Christ. Is this right, brethren? Are you on the same page I'm on here? We're talking about change. You have so many good things because of this change and a new hope. In Galatians chapter 3, of course, verses 26 and 27, Paul says, "For we are all called the children of God in Christ Jesus," by faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You have a new look. You have the Lord Jesus on you. And people will see the difference. I belong to a little deal that's kind of a memory society, I'm going to call it, called Classmates. Puts me in touch with kids I went to school with. Now, they all knew me during school. I don't know about you. If everybody knew you from your school years and they didn't know you from anything else, and they got you on TV and they said, "Tell us all about Bob, would you?" I would be a little leery about what they might say about me. But they all know that I've changed from that life. I've had the opportunity for them to know that. And several of them mentioned that continually. Now, that's not a boast. I'm just saying that I've changed. My pursuits are different. My life is new. My longing for a great hope in Jesus Christ, to know Him, is new. And I am not the same person I once was. We're told, of course, to love the Lord our God. That right? Matthew chapter 22, I think it's beginning over there. If you read those verses, you'll find it in verse 38, where we're told, maybe 36, 7, and 8, where we're told to love the Lord our God. We're told it's the first and the greatest commandment. Is that right? Well, what's the other one? Love your neighbor as yourself. See, our love is not only a love of God, but it's a love of others who are around us. And that changes my life. That gives me a new Heavenly Father. When I read about Jesus in John chapter 1, it says He comes into His own, and that His own receive Him not, but to as many as obey Him, follow Him, to them gave He the right to become the sons of God. You see, I have a new Father. I have a Heavenly Father that guides me. I have a heavenly family. Because as Jesus would say about His disciples, "All you are My brethren." And what a wonderful thing it is to see everyone who's here today. For us to see our family. Remember, nothing more important than God's family for us to be together the way we are, to encourage one another. I hope that we don't have to endure any more of hindrances to that kind of thing, so that we can enjoy the fellowship that we should have one with another, having things in common with each other rather than with the world, and that we can have friends that think the way we think, that we can develop a character that would be like Paul's, who fought the good fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life, as he tells us. And he said to Timothy that he was now ready to depart or to be offered. Time for his departure was at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth for me there is laid up a crown of righteousness that God will give unto me, or Christ will give unto me, and not to me only, but to all those who pursue his character. It's a great blessing for that change to come our way. What a marvelous thing to add to our character the things of God, the things of a new life, a new kind of conversation. Now, in the King James, that sometimes will mean the manner of life, but I'm talking about the way we converse one with another. The psalmist says in Psalm 19 and verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and of the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight." Or in Proverbs 21 and 23, "He who guards his mouth keeps his soul from trouble." That should be an amen. You've lived for a while, you know that's true. Sometimes once they've gone out of here, it's hard to grab them back, isn't it? "For the lack of wood for the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer," or some, the new versions say, "gossiper, contention quiets down." In other words, we can fuel the fire or the flames of our own conversations by the things that we say. If a man sin not with his word, James 3 and verse 2, he is a perfect or a mature man. Psalms 119 and verse 37 says, "Oh, how love I thy law, because the word keeps me from sin." A new heart, a new conversations. We are new creation, brothers and sisters. In order to practice this, I want to just encourage us with these last couple of points. And that is that we make a recognition that we stay unified together in the love of Christ, that we practice his practices of being united with one another, and that we are strong and courageous because we know that God loves us and that he pursues us, that he wants us to recognize that leadership is shown in those who are strong and courageous, who follow his word. And then our lives of submission. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," said Jesus, "thou that killest the prophets and stonest those which are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered you together, even as the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not." He was just simply saying, it's a decision. It's a decision you make, that I make, that we all need to make, that we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for you, that you'll recognize that change is a good thing when it's changed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today, we can help you in that change. It is our desire. We're going to ask you to come and let us know whatever the desires are, that we would pray with you and encourage you while we stand together and